Guys, welcome into Stacking Dubs. The Warriors stack another one, coming to you live right after the Portland beatdown, which turned a little sketchy. Lead shrunk to four in the third, and then it turned back into a quasi beatdown. I'm still reeling just a little bit. I had Warriors minus 12, guys, and if you watched the last two possessions of the game, I mean, it looked like the Warriors were just going to run out the clock up 11. Jimmy Butler decides, hey, I don't want a turnover. I'm just going to put this up. This the shot clock runs down. It hits the two. I'm feeling good about my parlay. And then Anthony Simons goes and hits a three at the buzzer. Warriors only win by 10. So it was a win. It wasn't quite the beatdown I was hoping for. But we move on. Warriors, what is that, five in a row? Six in a row? Warriors get a little bit of separation from the Wolves. They are now up a half game, but we have the tiebreaker on them. So I guess you can kind of look at it as a full game on the Wolves. I guess we'll just talk about it now since the playoff race is kind of upon us. And I was just looking at the schedule. So Warriors have 17 games left, 10 of which are against opponents with a winning record. And the Wolves have 16 games left, 7 of which are against teams with a winning record. So the Wolves actually have a pretty light schedule. Warriors have a tough back-to-back coming up. I guess, again, let's just look at the schedule. So we have the Kings coming up Thursday, followed by the Knicks on Saturday, and then back-to-back. I guess the schedule got changed around a little bit, Fitz was saying, but it's the Nuggets on Monday, the Bucks on Tuesday, and then Thursday against the Raptors. So it's a tough little four-game stretch here. A lot of good bigs that we're going to be facing. Fortunately, we don't have any Sabonis to worry about with the Kings, but with Karl Anthony Towns with the Knicks, and then you got the back-to-back with Joker and Giannis. The reason I bring it up is because the Warriors have been bumping and grinding with these bigs lately. Obviously, the Pistons, the bad boy Pistons, a lot of size, a lot of physicality. Warriors passed that test. It was a really hard-fought, one of the underrated better wins of the season for the Warriors on Saturday. On Saturday. But yeah, another great hard-fought win, and they dealt with it tonight. You know, they faced Klingon, who's 7'2" and is going to be a force in this league for the next few years. And you know, the Warriors, you know, post-battled hard. Klingon got the best of him a little bit, but then these are the games you need Looney to just kind of be that enforcer and that size. And Draymond didn't have the best game tonight. Did a little bit of everything though. And, you know, these are the games where, you know, you don't want Draymond playing too many minutes at center and just getting leaned on and pushed around and having to box out a huge body like Klingon, who again is 7'2" and must be got at least 270-ish, maybe bigger. So all that being said, you know, Warriors showing that grit, showing that resolve that they can play hard, and it helps when you shoot. What were they from three? They're 43%. No, that was the, excuse me, that was the the Blazers shot 43% from three. Warriors shot 51% from three. High scoring affair, obviously 250 combined points. Let's just kind of go through it because the box score is a little bit more fun when you drop 130. And it's not to say that the Warriors didn't play great defense, but they ran into some hot scoring outputs from Avdija and Anthony Simons, who dropped over 30. Warriors. So it's, I mean, first place you got to look, player of the game, Gary Payton, the second career high, dropped 26 points, could have had a few more. First, 6 from 3, 11 to 16 from the field, just played good defense as well, but just the offense output, when you're getting that from GP2, those are all bonus points. I think, what's he averaging, like 7-8 points at best on the season, so you got an extra 20 out of him, logged big minutes, looks healthy. I got to just give a shout out to Mike Dunleavy for holding on to GP2 at the trade deadline with his expiring contract and, you know, all the trade talks in the world. Would have been very easy to package his $8 million just to make salary fillers meet. But Dunleavy decided, Steve Kerr decided, the Warriors decided that especially giving away Andrew Wiggins, GP2's defensive prowess as a point of attack defender. It's just invaluable. And I know he was shooting under 20% from three at that point, but you just hope that, you can get that back up to when, I don't know what he shoots career, but he's like somewhere around like 31, 32%. Just get me close to 30%, just hitting, taking wide open corner threes. That's not a terrible shot. And he's, for his credit, has been willing to shoot it all year, and starting to kind of regress back to the mean where he started to hit some shots lately. He has been playing out of his mind offensively, and it just comes from shooting, right? It's as simple as, are you making shots in this league, and everything else like hard defense and tenacity and hustle, moving the ball, cutting has always been there. Make a few shots leads to more playing time, leads to better opportunities, leads to a career high night like this for GP2. So I love the resolve. I love that we've been able to hold on to him. And at times I'm like, well, we have all these expiring contracts and you're basically not doing much with them. They're just going to be off the books in the off season. But Warriors decided, you know what? We have a good enough roster to compete right now, especially bringing Jimmy Butler on board. We need that point of attack defense in GP2 because we don't really know for sure if we're going to be getting that from Moody and Pajemski, who have been great as perimeter defenders as well. But then now you enter GP2. Now he's playing better offense. And I've said it many times, he has always played extremely well with Steph Curry. Just off of this, the flow, right? It just always flows. Him and Steph are always moving off ball. He runs the baseline well. They just have a very good chemistry. And outside of Draymond and Steph's kind of duo, for good reason, GP2 and Steph just, they get the best out of each other. GP2, a good passer as well, especially knowing just where to locate Steph and when. And then also, he's a very good transition player. Just kind of speeds up the pace for the Warriors, gets out and runs, good in transition, and just gives you just a lot more than his 6'3" frame. So great game, GP2. You deserve it. And hopefully we can continue just to get good shooting for you from the rest of the season. And then, the combination, they're basically attached to the hip rotationally these days. It's just GP2 and Buddy Hield. And I know Buddy, it's gonna depend on, how he's shooting, how he's playing. And you're hoping for, those two to kind of mesh and kind of provide what the other doesn't, being that GP2 is usually going to give you the D and Buddy's going to give you more spacing. And, you just hope for a little offensive output from GP2. And then you hope for Buddy to kind of give you enough on the defensive end where he had a couple steals, he had a block. He was actually Buddy, he was a plus 16, team high plus 16 tonight, had 20 points. We already know Bellwether Buddy, when he's hitting those threes, he made 6 of 9. Making your threes, playing good defense. Hey, this is the Buddy we love. It's all the in between. It's the turnovers are still there. Three turnovers for a guy that shouldn't really be handling the ball that much. And, not the best defense again, but good enough. And, we're going to see the ups and downs of Buddies. Tonight was an up. And nope, honestly, GP2, Buddy, they were the reasons why this team was able to survive a few runs after the Blazers cut the lead to like 4 in the third quarter. It was reinserting Buddy, GP2, and that bench, was able to kind of right the ship and get back to a 10-point lead heading into the fourth. So it's got to give the flowers to Buddy when he does play well. You'll hear me plenty of times when he doesn't play well. It's just hopefully that consistency can get there. Same as GP2. But again, these two great tonight, and Curtis loves playing them together along with Steph. And that three has been just kind of a constant. And we're going to see when Kuminga comes back. I think he's going to be in that lineup with those three. And then you usually have kind of Looney, or just kind of, or I guess you can run post with that five too. But speaking of which, post, no, you know. Not the best game offensively. He definitely made three threes, but he had a few turnovers, a lot of fouls on the defense end, looked a little overwhelmed physically against Klingon, like we talked about. But he battled, he played well. And on the defensive side, he gave his best rim protection game. He had four blocks, and they were good blocks. You've really seen the evolution of him. He's really improved as a pick and roll drop defender where, he kind of splits the difference. He doesn't make it easy in the ball hand there, but he doesn't completely abandon the roller. And you saw one where he was able to kind of play the pick and roll in a drop, ball moved around a couple times, and he recovered from one block to the other block and ended up blocking Klingon. A lot of blocks there, but blocked Klingon. And again, he had four blocks on the night. So ups and downs, especially on the defensive end for Post, but you're starting to see that you can play him against some of these bigs. His 7'1" height just gives you an extra body where it doesn't have to be Looney, it doesn't have to be TJD, and then obviously just being able to space the floor on the other side. He is becoming a guy that has to play 20 plus minutes in games, matchup dependent, but right now it's not that dependent on matchup. He's going to be playing. So we'll see how that continues. We'll see how he matches up against the elite bigs in the league coming up. And when Pajemski returns, when Kuminga returns, there's a good chance that postseason that starting lineup, along with another unsung hero of the night, Moses Moody, who really came up big in times when the Warriors were kind of floundering. They were a little dead in the water in that third quarter, and it's just that energy that Moody infuses into that starting lineup. He's the one young guy on the perimeter and the wing spots, excluding Quentin Post, and that's what you need out of your youth, especially when Pajemski is not there. You need someone that's going to go in and get you extra possessions. You need, that offensive rebound that Moody got, and then that very tough finish. What the best thing about Moody lately, and the biggest just improvement, is his ability to finish and or get a foul to the hoop. Early in his career, even earlier in this season, a little out of control attacking the hoop. He'd always, if his initial catch and shoot wasn't there, it was always sweep, move to the right, and just try to attack. And just not a lot of, changing in timings with his feet, not a lot of jump stops, not a lot of head fakes. Now you find that he's being a little more crafty and he's finishing well. I know there's a couple circus finishes. It's not going to be an all the time thing. Got a little lucky on a couple of them. But they went in, and the times that they didn't, he found his way to the line, four free throws, knocked them down. And Moody, just a very efficient night. He was, what, 7 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from three, and just kind of find ways to affect the game and drop 20 points, all of which came at pretty important times. So, gotta say, it's going to be very interesting because I know Kuminga's around the corner coming back, Pajemski's around the corner coming back. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but you're going to kind of start to run into what we saw earlier in the season where you have nine guys. I mean, what did we play tonight? We had nine guys, including Gui Santos and Kevon Looney, who both played very well tonight too. Now you have Kuminga back and Pajemci. That's 11 guys that need time. How are you going to trim it to 10? How are you going to trim it to 9 as this postseason starts to take shape? We'll see. And I know they're going to ease Kuminga back in. And, the question is what happens if Kuminga struggles or just gets off to a slow start? He's not, spacing the floor well. He's just not quite fitting the defensive scheme. I love Kuminga, and I think we all know that he needs the minutes. And when he gets the minutes, he's going to produce because he is on an upward ascent and has the highest ceiling on this entire roster, and maybe near one of the highest ceilings in the league for where he's at right now. How do you balance this? I mean, we hope that he comes in and hits the ground running, but I think we know, the ankle, it's not 100%, and he's going to be out there when it's close enough to 100%. But his speed, his athleticism, his explosiveness is what makes him who he is. There's a very realistic chance that Kuminga comes out and struggles in the first few games. And how long is that leash? How do you take minutes away from guys that are basically balling and have found a great rhythm right now? So it's going to be a lot of questions to answer when Kuminga comes back. But again, it's a good problem to have. And just in general, this Warriors, the offense is humming. Everyone, GP2 said, everyone's locked in, from practices to film sessions to shoot arounds. You can see the chemistry. It's, these, especially with the Steph Curry offense and a lot of kind of new pieces heading into the season, you see it does take about a half a season for really guys just to understand player movement, how to play with Steph, where he's going to be. Obviously, you enter Jimmy Butler into the equation just about a dozen games ago. Guys like Moses Moody and Pajemski are playing big minutes now, and they weren't necessarily earlier in the year. So everyone's flowing. Everyone knows their role, right? Everyone. For the most part, from top to bottom, you can identify, two or three things that each player does well. Each player has like a weakness or two on one side of the ball or the other. Warriors have seemed to kind of figure out that recipe where you're maximizing guys, they're getting the ball in the spots where they can succeed. They're taking the shots what they're comfortable with. You know, GP2, he takes his corner threes, he cuts to the hoop. Buddy Hield, he's just going to kind of dance around and just live on the perimeter. You know, everyone just kind of, and Quentin Post, you know, his spots, you know, where he likes to get the ball. He's starting to give you a little bit more as a passer. You're starting to learn a bit more of like Jimmy Butler spots on the floor where he likes it and kind of just the different actions that we can run based on who has the ball and where and when in the shot clock. And it just seems like that team is really starting to flow and get good, clean looks every possession on offense. Except for a few lapses where the turnovers start to kick in. But again, the flow, the chemistry, you know, that's led to less turnovers. It's led to just kind of a better pace. It's led to better decisions where everyone's confident in their role, everyone's confident with their decisions, and everyone just knows that when in doubt, get the ball to Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler. Or honestly, Draymond Green or Pajemski, and they're gonna know where to go next. You know, you're trusting your teammates to create shots, and that's something that this team did not have earlier in the season. Shot creation was the biggest problem for the Warriors. Now you have three, sometimes four guys on the court that, hey, I can just give this ball to you. I know that there's enough ball movement and enough shooting on the floor and enough just kind of flow where we're gonna still get into a good shot. And I love it. So again, Warriors, another win. We're gonna have a big game against the Kings as they come in Thursday. Kings are a couple, I think 2.5, 3 games back from us and from that sixth spot. Every game matters, guys. Like I talked about, Minnesota is right there with us, and they're coming on strong. I believe they've won at least three or four in a row and have a pretty light schedule coming up. I mean, looking, you know, above us, you got the Rockets who have a little tougher schedule than us, but there's 3 games of gap. You have the Grizzlies there ahead of, in the same spot. And then you get the Nuggets and Lakers ahead, but I don't think they're going to be able to be caught despite LeBron maybe missing a couple weeks. So we're just going to be fighting for that sixth seed and every game's going to matter, but hopefully there's going to be, you know, a little game or two cushion where they can eventually kind of just, you know, take the foot off the gas for the last few games of the season and get that rest they need heading into the playoffs and not into the play-in where you're just fighting for dear life. But we're going to worry about that another day. All right, you guys enjoy the win. Another good one where the Warriors look great. Another one where they had their little drought and just came out flat in that second half, namely that third quarter. But like we haven't seen earlier in the season, they're able to right the ship and again come away with a win without ever relinquishing the lead completely. So they dug in and they knew that they could lay on their defense. And for once, they shot the ball well. Very scary team when they actually shoot well from three. And Gary Payton the second's dropping 26. All right, you guys, until next time, I am Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.